Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The offense beat the defense 31-24. Peyton Thorne and Jaden Reed can't hold a flame to Tommy Schuster and Nick Marsh. Childs, he was fine too. You're listening to Can't Read, Can't Write. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Can't Read, Can't Write, the podcast that proves Spartans can talk. I'm Mike Jones, joined as always by Kevin Slippery Greck and Alex Base Package Plum. That was good. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Oh, we're demonstrating our knowledge from the spring game. You know, sure. Base Package Slippery.
We pay attention.
This is a real X's and O's podcast over here.
That's what people come to us for.
Straight talking.
Speaking of the podcast, Plum, did you notice that the coaching staff sent us a subtle message by wearing our Gruff Sparty sweatshirts that we've got on now? Sort of like,
well, it tipping, was
doffing it was, back the cap.
Yeah, well, it was the gift I sent to John Smith when he moved to East Lansing, a little care package with various Detroit favorites. So He and I have established a relationship. Looking forward to having him on the pod here in a couple weeks.
Yep.
That's right.
You heard it here first.
Hit subscribe so you don't miss that interview. It's coming, I promise.
What was interesting to me is that he insisted on doing us first before so many other media outlets.
Well,
who he described as thirsty and pathetic, but he didn't specify who or what he was referencing that to, but he wanted us to have the first.
He did. Yeah. He's a thoughtful guy. Mm-hmm.
Well, until then, we want to thank everyone for listening to the podcast. And if we could ask a small favor, please share the pod with Spartans in your life, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. And of course, hit that subscribe button. If you are watching on YouTube, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @Spartan_pod. Rec, you did the outlining today. What is the structure of this show?
Well, Michael, we begin on the green wall where football always leads, and especially today because we had the spring showcase. Was it ever called the spring showcase before? I don't remember that being the name.
Real
of it,
missed opportunity.
I guess. Yeah. That's why the program has mired in mediocrity over the last several years, because we failed to call it the spring showcase.
So we'll go over binder. That.
Football team has its first commit, so we'll talk about team boys. From there, we'll talk about men's basketball, where we're on Frankie Fielder watch day like 15 or 20 or whatever. Also other MSU related sports topics. Then we'll go off Grand River. There's been a couple of rules updates. We'll talk about other things in the wider world of sport. And then, as always, we will take your Twitter questions.
And before we get rocking and rolling, listeners, peek behind the curtain. Alex Plum's a little grumpy today. I brought out the Fast Friends just to brighten the mood.
But I can't taste it, so I don't know how this is supposed to.
You'll get all the riz that this provides you, and I promise it brings the riz.
Okay, well, I'm drinking bourbon, so I'm going to be dour and unhinged.
Speaking of which, I just want to do a little plug for Devil's River Bourbon. Bourbon whiskey.
All right, well, we'll get. Small should match. We just do this now? Because we might as well just get this out of the way. Thanks, Mike Jones, in advance, per usual. I got the Bibb and Tucker today, not after Mel Tucker, we should be explicit to name. 6-year-aged small batch bourbon whiskey from Tennessee. By the Bibb and Tucker Company, Columbia, Tennessee. So anyway, not bad. Gotta say, not bad. I've had
that's
much
a good one.
Worse.
In a handsome bottle. A
very handsome. Comely, even.
Yeah. Yep.
Bottle alone for the YouTubers here. It's just a very nice, bottle, and it has etched in it here on the side why it's a fine time to drink. And indeed,
yeah, I would suggest to you, maybe you're not like a big bourbon fan, but you want to have one on the shelf. This is one to consider.
That's the one to put on the shelf. Or take it as a gift. Take it as a gift.
Perfect
gift. This is a great gift-giving whiskey.
Mm-hmm. And then you keep the Devil's River for yourself, and you drink it in the basement, and you just stew.
Angrily. Like
Alex Plum on a Monday night.
And the Devil's River really might be a stewing whiskey, if we're being honest.
It's true.
All right, let's head behind the green wall. And of course, we're going to start with the Spring Chiquet, I believe is how it's pronounced, Greg. You nailed that. So I think we need to start where everyone
left off.
Knows we need to start, which is Jonathan Kim misses his first field goal attempt. Some have tried to blame the weather. It was a blustery Saturday, but I no excuses.
Yeah, season's over.
I mean, you can't miss from what was it, 27 yards? I mean, I think it was within 30. It was not, and it was. I mean, to the right, he kicked left. Did it hit the post? Dunked off? No, it just sailed wide. Goose.
I would have taken a doink. Have you guys been in the stadium for a doink off the post?
No.
It is a unique sound when it happens, and especially when it's your team that does it. It's just like dunk, and then usually the football will just sort of like dribble back out onto the field to play, and it's just the most demoralizing thing.
Even but made more so.
Other team, it's great. Yeah,
made more so by the emptiness of the stadium and the cacophony of such donk. That would be quite painful.
Well, let's talk some upside. So, Aiden Childs, not an incredible performance. He goes 7 for 14, but did show some real arm talent, showed some ability to extend plays, to the extent you can really gauge that kind of a thing in a game where he's not allowed to be hit.
Well, he had a 15 yard run and no one was near him. So it at least it, you know,
the legs. I thought it was interesting in one of his quotes, after the scrimmage, the spring game, whatever, he said, he referred to himself as one who takes big chances. He's like, you know, I'm young, I'm energetic still. I probably throw more than I should. And I kind of wondered if that was a reference to this, that I wonder in a real game how many of those throws he maybe would have attempted. But it's hard to say because at the same time, he wasn't under the kind of pressure that you'd expect in a game time when that decision-making would be clouded even more so by that. So I couldn't tell if this was just an oblique reference to himself in the third person or if it was a... But 50% for the base package, not hope inspiring.
Yeah, though certainly they weren't, you know, everyone playing that game knew that they weren't trying to show anything off, right? Because it is all televised. Mercifully, the Big Ten managed to really screw up the DVR situation for everybody watching. So maybe some of the Big Ten doesn't have all the tape. But I think Plum, that quote you called out, which was a great one. I think the context of it, though, was also worth mentioning because I believe he was actually talking about Tommy Schuster, the backup.
Correct.
And what his value was, and that Tommy's really great at just taking what the defense gives him. And I thought we saw out of Tommy Schuster a perfectly viable backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be mad. I mean, we might be sad that Aiden's gone, but like, you're like, it's okay. All is not lost.
Yeah, it did seem like the drop from Aiden to Tommy was like not as strong as we also saw in this game, Andrew Schoffer, the only remaining quarterback from last season, which was such a stark contrast between him when he was out there throwing the one interception, I believe, versus the actual guys that will be playing this fall.
Did he get married and change his last name? I do not recognize that name at all.
He was the guy that went in after Sam Lovett was like, I'm not playing for you idiots anymore.
Yeah, he is a sixth year walk-on.
Yeah. He had his time in the sun at Spartan Stadium, and it's over, mercifully, thank God.
Nick Marsh had moments showing out. I think it was interesting, though, that, you know, it certainly it's worth, and we're going to get into portal stuff, it's worth taking a pause on what anything means in this is even more of just a snapshot in time than most things are. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting. Marsh didn't run with the ones. Isaiah Johnson did, who was one of those, I think, Greg, you called him a three-star trash recruit last year. He was one of the late ads.
Mm-hmm. More of those, by the way.
Managed to see him see himself playing with the ones. Nick Marsh, though, in the twos looked great. Mm-hmm. You see the potential there for sure. You see why he was a top 100 recruit.
He made a good catch coming back to the ball on one thrown from Tommy Schuster for a touchdown. So that was encouraging.
Made another one. I think he was hard to take down for. It picked up, well covered, and then picked up a handful of yards still after that.
We like it.
Yeah.
What I didn't like, and this has nothing to do with Nick Marsh, was Aiden Chile's comments about Nick Marsh again after the spring game, quoted by Graham Couch, as I thought pretty pedantic comments. Like, I see a lot of myself in him. You know, the young kid's got a lot of energy. I'm like, Aiden Chile, you're 18. I don't know who you're talking about as a young kid who's got a lot of energy and you, quote, see yourself in him. You are truly a child still. I could not begin to understand less what this, like, we just got to get him into the playbook. And like, my friend, you haven't learned the playbook entirely yet. You've been on campus for 7.5 minutes. So that was a performative pedantic piece that for me was a complete miss. And I think he got a little bit ahead of his skis there as the, you know, leader of the team. My friend, you will earn that title on the field. It is not something that can be given to you simply by virtue of the position. Do better, sir. And hopefully, I think Jonathan Smith's leadership style is very unflashy, and I hope in some respects serves as a role model a little bit for Mr. Marsh, who gets right back over the skis where he belongs. So,
other interesting notes. Nathan Carter looked great in the game, but Brandon Tullis, true freshman.
One of those Oregon State flips.
Mm-hmm. Ran as the two and looked more than competent.
Yeah.
Surpassed Berger. Why am I forgetting the name of Mangum? Mangum, I don't believe, was in a jersey.
Correct. We didn't see him.
So,
I was less confident, though. So running the ball, okay. We've kind of touched on catching the ball. Got to do a word for Montori Foster.
Sure.
Does seem to be stepping up more formally into that role of being the number one guy. Other than that, though, I got to tell you, the tight ends looked a little sus. I know two of them weren't kitted up for this game showcase, but I'm a little worried. I know we've been talking about grabbing a wide receiver in the portal. Would like to see that happen. Want to rely on Nick Marsh. Oh yeah, two now, because there's been attrition in that area, which we'll get to. So that was a little concerning. I also thought the guys covering the wide receivers looked a little concerning as well. I think that's on all of our radar already. But that fear of mine was not assuaged over the course of the showcase. I don't know about you guys.
No. I mean, the tough thing, though, about playing ones-on-ones, right, is who's good and who's bad, mm-hmm. right? Like, is it that the offense is good and the defense is bad? Is it that the you know, like not being able to run the ball particularly well. Well, yeah. The defensive line was the strength in theory of the team. So is that terribly shocking, or are we still just bad at running the ball? And the defensive line is just mid. You know, like I think that's one of the things that is difficult to take out of this with any confidence.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I know you use the defensive line as a for instance here. I thought they actually looked okay in this game, or in this showcase. The offensive line, I thought, looked okay, too. And there were some missing jerseys slash dudes on the O-line as well that we'll have to kind of stay tuned for. Is that just a spring thing, or is that a program thing?
Merritt, who's a walk-on who's most famous for getting photoshopped with the last name Coxslam, started like at right tackle, I think. And Ethan Boyd was nowhere to be found. So.
Oops.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
that's what happens. The power of Photoshop, man. It spills over into real life.
So Greg, you had a note on here, and I think this is a good call out that, you know, Joe Rossi's system has been described by players, and I believe Rossi alike, about being a linebacker friendly
system
package. Yeah. System. Thank you. And so it was surprising to me that the linebackers, I mean, I guess you would take them just not noticing them, because at times we really noticed them last year.
Yeah.
But, and in fact, maybe you called out the tight ends. Maybe that is actually an indicator that the linebacking core has gotten better in coverage.
Could be.
But all the same, yeah, your note in here about them not really standing out, I think, is well said, particularly for a system that's supposed to be sort of linebacker centric.
That's right. For everyone, all the listeners that question my qualifications to be on this podcast, I suggest that maybe you should see our show notes. That's where my true genius shines through.
It really, really is.
It's what I bring to the table. Are the show notes. Anything else on this? I mean, we've got a football commitment now. There's been some other stuff going on with the portal. We can talk about that. But anything else you guys want to discuss on the spring showcase?
Team boys.
Yeah, let's talk team boys. Let's say this. It looked competent. Whatever it was, it looked competent.
And I think... Yeah, to your point, my God. I mean, I guess it could have looked like, no, it couldn't have. And here's why, because we have competent leadership. And I guess that's your point. It couldn't possibly have looked like anything that we've seen in the past, because it's not smoke and mirrors. And we can get more on the comments that we've heard about as guys are starting to talk more about Smith and his system. So anyway, yes. Well done. Well said.
We watched football, right? Like.
Yep.
That was great. It was good to watch football.
And Jonathan Smith said that to camera. Looked like football out there. And that was true. It did. The case in previous spring showcases where we didn't even have an offensive line to put on the field. Plum, you requested the teen boys and we shall deliver. Last week we talked about how MSU doesn't have any commits for the 2025 class. That has changed. Leo Hanan out of Anaheim, California, is our quarterback for the class of 2025. Three-star trash recruit, but the peer group on the offer list does actually look stout. So you've got your Arizonas, your BYUs, your Coloradas, although that one doesn't count because we know that Colorado doesn't actually recruit, so that one I would... Set that aside.
Not real.
You've got some Big Tens, Illinois, Minnesota's, Washington's in here. Oregon State's in here. So poverty program showing up. Georgia Southern also would put them with Oregon State. Anyway, overall, not a horrible list. And 3-star rated quarterback, number 50 on 247. So we'll see what happens with that.
24/7 has him as the 22nd quarterback in the country.
I'm sorry. I look at the composite. I'm a index kind of guy. Sure. He's indexed at the 50. But that does include certain organizations of ill repute, we'll say.
And I think an 89 puts him just on the cusp of becoming a 4-star. So... And I think I've heard some folks say that they actually really like him. He does come from a good program to the extent that anybody cares about that. He plays in a really high level high school down in Southern California. So he's playing legit football. The next on our list, we get some Darius Snow. Is this just out of order or
no? This was me.
A separate topic.
Separate topic. Not a commit. Hand of a commit. Was going to leave. Got out of the portal. Recommitted. Jumped out of the portal after he ended last season. You'll remember Darius Snow joined the program back when John L. Smith was the coach and has been plagued by injuries for the better part of a decade and a half, too, coming on it.
His leg was blown up.
His leg was
Hurt Locker style.
Should not have signed up to go to Iraq. That was a mistake on his part. So anyway, I thought it was an interesting piece that Graham did a week or so ago on Darius Snow. He says he's about 90% back. I think he saw a little action on Saturday. I couldn't tell you whether it was good or bad. But getting back out there is good. I bring him up because, A, it's good to have some seasoned players coming back to the team. He was his trainer. I think his dad are in Texas. He was talking about, talk to them about going back into the portal and finding a new team. And they're like, you got a new coach here. The brand is getting refreshed. Are you going to do the same thing with a new brand, new coach in a new school? You don't have to move your stuff now. You know what you knew, and now you got a new thing. So, and he kind of was like, yeah, I'm going to stay, which is nice. I hope that, will he be the guy that he was on track to be in 2021? I don't know, before he got injured. We'll see. But the comments that he made about Jonathan Smith were really interesting. And he talks about this, and you're seeing more and more guys talk about how straightforward he is. This is what I kind of teed up earlier. It's not a lot of gimmicks. He made this example. He's like, I texted coach, I had a question, and he's like, I'm at dinner, call me at 8. And I didn't call him at 8, and so he texted me at 8:01 or whatever, and was like, why didn't you call me? It's sort of like, oh shit, like guys paying attention, And that, I think there's real credibility in that. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. And someone else remarked, like, you didn't see any of the bullshit, like chopping wood, deep shed analogies and fucking
deep shed is
deep
it.
Shed. Yeah, that's it. The deep shed. Fuck. But see, it could have been, it was coming. The portmanteaus eventually. So anyway. That was my one Darius Snow thing. It was an interesting article. Graham always does a nice job. He gets a guy, gets some time with Darius Snow, and you get to get a peek a little behind the curtain and see what it says about the program. And that I found insightful.
We need to set up a t-shirt shop though with Deep Shed immediately. Would sell.
Woods.
Wood.
WOOD. Gotcha.
You think I didn't do that on purpose?
Okay.
You guys, oh, it's so good. Our rapport,
I hate
unbelievable.
It.
This is how you get 100+ views on YouTube.
Yes,
we're YouTube. Also on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Different show but over there.
There's a lot more of you listen to the pod. Please just click that subscribe button on the YouTube. You'd be doing us a favor.
Look at our sweatshirts. Look at Plum and I. It's our little, again, doth of the cap back what? To the
come legends. Come
You don't need to listen. Just click the subscribe. It'd do us a solid.
It's also where you get your haikus. Just saying. There's been portal activity. The Gates family looked at
Gates family things.
The Gates family looked at what worked so well for Antonio Gates and decided we're just going to set that whole system back up again for their son, run it back. So presumably he's about to transfer to Miami of Ohio and then will eventually become a Hall of Famer in the NFL. This is the long way of saying that Antonio Gates has left the program. He appeared in the transfer portal today. Other people are in the transfer portal. Other people appear to be leaving the transfer portal en route to East Lansing. We added Indiana defensive end Anthony Jones, who started Oregon. So this is Big Ten team number three that Anthony will be joining. Plum, what does that do for your whole, like, you're not a Spartan until you've transferred? Is he a Hoosier permanently, or?
Yeah, he's definitely not a Spartan. I think we can all agree on that. He might actually be a Hooplian.
A Hooplian.
Yeah, from the University of Southern North Dakota at Hoopla. They have some strange rules there about who can be a Hooplian, and it has something to do with passing through portals several times on contiguous days in Indiana. So
are you a Hooplian?
I've been known to be.
At times you're Hooplian, but you can sort of lose Hooplian status.
Right. It's a gradient. It's not a status gradient. It's a gradient. It's like fluency. You know, you can lose it slowly by not being present to it, even if elements of you will always be Hooplian.
Mm. Do you need to just go touch back? Is that sort of?
I hate this. I don't like any of this.
Speaking of things that I hate, there's more portal activity, including some that we have to actually discuss. Simeon Burrow finally made it official and has left the program for the seventh time.
I can't tell if it's good or bad. I mean, stop toying with me, but like, we're going to miss him.
Yeah, I mean, he's like on draft boards or whatever. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great.
You don't like that.
I just like, and then also it's relevant because there are so many of them. Three of our defensive backs are now in the portal: Brown, Pleasant, and Lowry. Who cares about them individually? Like, truly, I don't.
The volume does matter, though.
As a collective, I'm in a state of tremendous portal fatigue right now. I don't know about you guys, but it comes and it goes. And right now, I just truly could not care less.
You're all portaled out.
About the portal.
Yep.
Are you guys with me on portal fatigue? Do we need someone that doesn't have it at any given time so that they can monitor the portal? Because I'm just like, oof, who cares?
Who cares is right. And this is, I texted you guys this earlier. I thought Michael's response was infuriating, but correct.
Yeah. We kicked him out of the group chat for a
minute. Because of this. Because yeah. I'm tired of him being right, but it's exhausting.
Yeah, I'm gonna clip that, by the way. That is going out to the internet.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. I like being right, even though it's exhausting and it alienates my friends and family members. That's what's important to me. That's what I value.
You so rarely give me any credit for being right. I'm gonna take what I can get.
Family members was good. But my question is, and I guess this is so my question for the listeners was, you know, why don't we have contracts with players like we do with coaches? So they can't leave. Fuck the portal. Once you sign the contract and you get your bag and you get your Chevy Cruze from Matic Chevrolet or whoever, then that's it. You're locked in. And Jones's response was right. Say your response, because I thought it was very, very precious.
Tell the people your response.
It assumes that everybody is playing by the same rules, but not everybody is. And so if enough folks are willing to waive it in the same way that in the housing market and almost everywhere, and certainly still some places now, folks were waiving the mortgage contingency and the inspection rights, that like then everybody has to waive it. And so there's enough people who are willing to shower the money that it's created in a hyper competitive marketplace that is, you can call it player friendly. I have questions about that, but you know, that's why, like, and in truth, and I think in fairness, if the NFL or NBA didn't have rules,
yeah,
you'd see the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of a collective bargaining agreement, and that's part of the anti-competitive carve-outs that those leagues have.
Right, which, yeah, and college we don't need
to, does right. not.
And yeah, we're not going to go down that whole pathway, but like it is, you know, the NCAA wants an exception from the Sherman Act, that which is what governs antitrust law, or is a big component of governing antitrust law here. And but they don't they've not given any of the things that MLB and the NBA and the NFL have given in order to in order to sort of get that exemption. Additionally, you know, you're talking about the NCAA is losing currently every lawsuit that's brought against it. And you've seen it with the update to the transfer portal rules that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But they're not that far away from getting sued by high school athletes, by the way. And they're not that far away from getting sued probably for folks who are saying, why is there a limit for how long I can play here? Graham has been touting this for a while, but he's not wrong that, like, why is there a 4-year limit? What's the compelling reason?
Right.
Like, you've just limited my marketability. And if a school's willing to keep me here and continue to give me a scholarship, then what's the big deal? And so until, I think we talked about this last week or the week before, until the NCAA finds a way to actually meaningfully re-anchor its argument around academics, I don't know that they have a path forward. It'd be hilarious if they called the bluff and said, fine, we're folding up shop. No more NCAA. We're done here. What are you going to do now? That's a lot of revenue that a lot of places are missing out on because the NCAA doesn't exist anymore. Suddenly, Congress might have a different view of the situation. But
yeah, well, it was a good response. It's good context.
It never happen. Is there a case of a whole organization being like,
I'm going to take my ball. You know what? Home.
We all quit. See ya.
So Simeon Barrow got me thinking about this, and I'm quite confident that somebody is going to tweet at us for this, but I want to talk about team sports for a second. Sports in general, but team sports in particular, and what their value in life is. Because at some point in time, almost all of these kids, when they were true children, got involved for sports for reasons that are not achieving at a D1 and professional level. And there's a lot of value in sports. It teaches teamwork, teaches humility, it teaches persistence, it teaches commitment. These are like values that transcend your time in athletics and actually speak to things that you can accomplish in your professional life. It speaks to how you interact with your community. And so I'm a huge proponent of sports. Obviously, I love them, and I see the value in participating in sports. The idea, and I say all of that without taking away from the fact that the NCAA and its member institutions have made a lot of money on the product that the student athletes have put forward in the form of TV rights. But when Simeon Barrow, who is a pro prospect and is expected to start for our team, hops in the transfer portal, I got angry. And sure, it's about losing a player like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also pissed me off that he took an entire spring's worth of reps at the one. There are other people on the team. You made a commitment to other people, and you fucking bailed on it.
Yep.
So, you know, and we are in an unregulated market. He is perfectly entitled to do it in the same way that any one of us is entitled to hop from one job to another. Though, admittedly, you do put in some notice and all that kind of thing. But what's unique about this circumstance is that for 15 practices, he took opportunities from people because that's how this works, for them to get better. Because if you are a one, first on the depth chart, you take more practice reps than someone who's second, and certainly more than someone who's your third. And football is a game of depth. So you robbed the team and another person of an opportunity to get better. And so I, again, fully recognize the moment we're in and that these players are getting an opportunity that is long overdue. But this particular portal window is infuriating because there's this assumption that it's all dudes who aren't going to play. And that's not what's happening. Simeon Barrow was called on message boards by insiders a while away that the SEC was shopping him. So, like,
You got to assume that this is a tampering situation for sure.
Oh, it's for sure a tampering situation. But, like, I think it's fair to say fuck him a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
he's gone. 100%. You can say whatever you want. No one cares about Simeon Barrow. And if Simeon Barrow is your child's favorite player,
get a new kid.
Yeah. get a new kid. I was going to say, I question your judgment as a parent and all those things. But
what kind of role model is he?
Absolutely. You're right. Get a new kid.
Get a new kid. It's got to be the answer.
So anyway, that's just something I've been thinking about a lot, that these are people who are taking opportunities from other people to get better and serve the team. And I saw folks hopping in, players hopping in saying, like, man, I hate fans because they jump on a guy. I don't know how, for just trying to make his life better. And it's like, I'm happy to concede that that is what's happening. But can we also acknowledge that some dude didn't get to practice because of this? And that the team is now worse off?
I mean, he did get to practice. We just saw a practice. They all participate during the drills, but didn't get to participate in the drills with the ones, didn't get to do the reps.
And the ones take more reps. End up
playing. So, yeah. So, I get what you're saying. I also just... Man, do I not care about Simeon Barrow right now.
At all. Yeah, it's a good point. Let's talk about basketball. Basketball?
That's because I need to clown on Greg for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I did just announce that I don't care about Simeon Barrow at all right now, so it's a good time.
Greg, you have been... we'll say on the edge.
Yeah,
for a particular announcement.
Mm.
And Tom Izzo goes on a radio show and says that if AJ Hogarth's going to play college basketball, it's not here, which tees up your opportunity for changing of the Hogarth part, duh, or at least changing of the Hogarth question mark. And you don't even have it on the outline. I would have thought you were all over that.
I'm thinking about how I work electric boogaloo into this whole situation.
There it is. Just, the old boogaloo.
Is it just behind the colon or what? But yeah. So finally, mercifully, it has been confirmed that AJ Hogarth is not coming back. And we can close the book.
Unsatisfactory? Because it was Izzo on Stout, which isn't even published a podcast form.
It's like it was like such a portal back into time of like, oh my God, old ball coach goes on local AM radio show to talk to Tim Stout, who had to get wheeled up, like pushed up to the mic by his granddaughter, presumably. Like, this is just not how things are done anymore. And it does go to show that, like, everything else has moved on. But Tom Izzo is in a lot of ways just sort of stuck in a different. So we're done. We can close the book. We can turn the page.
There it is.
On the AJ Hogarth era at MSU. We appreciate your time. There were games that you took over. But
many more that you did not.
Yes. Yes. Many more that you did not. And, you know, your merch at House of Souls is awful. And I won't even purchase it on clearance.
Mom, should we go in on a shirt for Greg?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Deep End Wood. Wood by
Deep Wood.
AJ Hogarth's Deep End Wood.
Deep End Wood.
Also, we are on Frankie Fiddler watch like 15, day 15, as I said. 15? For those that aren't watching that transfer portal, he's the Omaha wing, loves him afar too, has a really good true shooting percentage, but that's because he shoots so well from the free throw line and shoots from volume and shoots for volume at the free throw line. So Plum's newest favorite player. Also, name is Frankie, so that might be contributing to that whole thing.
Doesn't hurt.
If indeed he does commit, which we people are saying.
It might have happened by the time you listen to this podcast.
Might not.
Might not, but might have.
But might have. And, you know, dude can board as well. So I'm saying all of this to distract from the fact that there's still no news at the five. But I don't know if you guys saw the rumors about Mati Sissoko's potential destinations. They surprised me a bit. They were a little bit more high major than I was expecting. I'll be frank. I'll be Frankie Fiddler about this whole thing.
It's Utah, Washington, he's heard from, and San Diego State.
I mean, real programs with potential to go to the tournament. So,
maybe
they don't have television in those locations, but that's well, if, where
in,
we're
at least at Utah and in Washington, they had the Pac-12 network, and I think you had to have a refrigerator TV to watch it. So tough luck.
Yep. Women's golf.
Oh, you did have University Wiener on here.
Yeah.
We'll need a new NIL partner. You did backdoor it in, didn't you?
Oh, you think that I didn't write it? I thought you meant we, listener, we have a part at the top where we propose the titles for the episodes. I didn't put it there, but I put a really like little clever backdoor reference to AJ Hogarth leaving under our men's basketball section. And Jonesy didn't pick it up because it was too clever and subtle for him. And he was all haughty and on his high horse about being right earlier. So he had to just nosedive into that one.
Women's golf came in second at the Big Ten Championship Tournament, getting outdone by Indiana, who charged back from behind or ahead with the lower scores. How's that work? Do you want to be behind? It doesn't matter.
Can't read, can't write, can't read numbers.
That's right.
Anyway, that would have been their second Big Ten championship in a row, I believe. So still another strong season outing by MSU Women's Golf. And they'll be headed to the national tournament, I think, starting next week, maybe 2 weeks from now.
That's right.
Yeah, so very exciting. Obviously wishing them luck and many, many more victories.
And also on this note, women's crew proving that they are a real team, with real athletes and not just a Title IX farm.
Do you think that this donation came through because of that lesson?
What? No, not a factor at all. It's because they're a real team with real athletes. Brand new facilities looked really, really nice. New practice facilities, new locker room. I'll be honest with you. Preferred the look of the lockers to the men's football locker rooms that are just like, we're gonna need to replace those in like 3 years. But kind of like a classic academic, like strong wood
boathouse
on those. Yeah.
Yacht beautiful club vibes.
Yep. Big yacht club vibes with a really nice equipment in the workout room, I thought as well. So good for them.
This very much feels like this is compensating.
Yeah.
So
when John Law comes knocking,
they're like, we had to fill in the pool. It's for this facility for a very real sport that we've always cared about deeply.
We promise. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's quickly say a very kind word. We're going to go round robin here.
Go there. Yes. We're just so excited to talk about the NCAA transfer rule. It's unlimited now and it's above board. It's the Wild West.
Totally legal. No problems portended here. Charlie it's Baker doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. I mean, we can all agree on that at this point, right?
I don't think it's fault. The courts.
Yeah, no. But that's my point. There's nothing he can do. There's nothing. He doesn't know what he's doing. He couldn't know what he was doing because nothing. Whether he did or he didn't, he can't now. There's nothing. There's no rules. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
It all is like, it is at both times becoming more profitable than ever and falling apart more than ever. And it is going to be interesting to see like how these two things, as they diverge, what wins, what ends up happening. Yep. It doesn't look good though for the sport. Yep. Except for that something, something player empowerment, something, something. Oh, great. There's also an NIL update. Schools can now facilitate NIL, but they can't pay it directly. So we're getting closer there. Not, I mean, this time next year, I bet there's something like, forget it. Schools can just do NIL directly. I mean, this has been reported and we talked about it here on the podcast. The Big Ten was expecting to include student athletes on their last media rights deal. So my understanding is believe the reports on that. That was something that was very seriously discussed in the Big Ten. So that would require.
My understanding, MSU's ready for it. MSU has a plan in place.
Yes. So that would be, I mean, if not the schools, then I guess maybe Fox/ABC/ whomever pays the student athletes directly, but it seems like it would make more sense if it just went through the institution. So that's going to happen here soon.
Yeah, that's interesting because, like, I don't know that I want the TV execs doing it because they might try and incentivize one player moving to a different team because now you create a better storyline, right? Like,
oh yeah, great. Fox has a room full of dudes that try to facilitate transfers and stuff. That sounds truly dystopian. We shut down the podcast if that happens.
Yeah.
We just shut it down.
That's good.
Even if it benefits us in certain ways, we shut it down.
I joke in some ways, but like my fatigue, I'm with you on the fatigue about the transfer portal. Like this is the most alienated about a thing that I loved that I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can't even get that comfortable being in your own like anger stew because it keeps fucking changing so fast. As soon as you feel like you've got a handle on where to really situate your anger, another piece of it, another critical part of the mechanism by which this thing works is changed. So, I don't know. Yeah.
By the way, Plum, you brought up earlier the contracts. My understanding is USC tried last year to pay based upon performance, and that did not
work.
End up going
over because well. Why would anyone want to be held accountable? Why would anyone want any sort of accountability for anything in life when they can just get free money up front? And
And then as long as we're off Grand River, I had a whole thing in here about the Tortured Poets Society, but Mike Jones hates listeners and women. So he just X'd it all out. He doesn't want that smoke. So it's gone now. We don't have to talk about Joe/Maddie Healy. You know,
let's spend time on it.
That's what this is about. You're a big Maddie Healy fan.
That's exactly what it is.
You don't like what's happening to your guy right now. You've often considered yourself the Maddie Healy of this podcast.
Taylor Swift is a lizard person who was shot at Pizzagate, and that is why it took her so long to make another album because she had to regenerate her spine.
So long, literal. Weeks, months,
I did hear somewhere someone said that it was likely that Beyonce just came out with an album too.
Yes.
And yeah, they're sort of doing country it together album. Because they both sort of ratchet each other up. And so when one comes out and then another one comes out, it bolsters each. like the pro Beyonce versus pro Taylor camp. Anyway, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true.
That's kind of giving Beyonce a little bit too much credit these days.
I mean, like the Eras Tour just annihilated Beyonce's tour.
I'm going to go ahead and
have a Swiftie here.
I'm going to be careful and invite others to jump into the mentions.
I mean, it's just the numbers. The numbers are true. I was subject to this.
You
record.
Just Homer Simpson did
Homer Simpson right out of that.
I mean, just look at this. You know, can't read, can't write, can't look at stats. I guess. Anything else on this?
No.
Questions. You guys listen to
Twitter questions. Twitter questions. Damn you, Twitter! There's a 400 of them. First up, Cedar Village Bagel. It is currently April 21st, and to the memory of the Queen and my late grandfather and my cousin Kaylee. And the spring semester at Michigan State is nearly over. If you were placed in a time machine and you got two more weeks at Michigan State during your final spring before graduation, Michael Jones, what would you do?
It's what would I do? Pointed and unfair question, Plum. You know how pointed and unfair.
No. Plum actually is misremembering, and so are you.
Oh.
Those issues didn't matter until the summer.
That's fair.
Yeah, but you knew that that was coming.
That I had classes that I needed to attend?
Yes.
Because you can walk in the spring and then...
complete them over the summer.
Yeah. So I didn't know my situation. So if you're going to come for me, at least get it right.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
But, you know, I don't really remember the last 2 weeks, which tells me that I did it right. Like, I mean, MSU in the spring is
lovely.
Wonderful.
Lovely.
Banging.
Best place.
I would have spent more time at Delta, if I'm being honest. That's probably what I would have done. So.
Fair.
And that's not a frat, in case anyone thinks that it is. It's the street we lived on.
So. Delta Arms, nestled in between West Circle and Crunchy's Bar. Road to everywhere.
Right where it belongs.
Someone on this podcast has definitely not checked to see whether the doors still work recently. So,
uh-oh. Next up, Beppe Plum. We need a canal system to slow the portal from flooding. The ingenious Dutch canal system in Amsterdam helped prevent flooding in the city's famed red light district, got its name from the red lights once used by prostitutes to identify their buildings. Now you know.
I think I knew both of those, actually. Usually I don't know, but that one I did.
I want to caution Beppe from what was a Momopolyphian question statement shtick there. There's not enough room in this podcast for more of that.
Wow. So
I'm going to need less... of that.
Beppe, that's from your namesake. I mean, if you're considering a name change, maybe Beppe Grooch, just throwing that out there. Because I will read your rant of the week. I turned on the Panthers game and heard them say, holding, 79, again. F that guy, just retire. No wonder the team had a 66.6% winning percentage with players like him. Dude had two holding calls. 104 apart. Some people deserve January 6 parties with that Max guy, Sam's brother.
Who is this about?
Some kind of January 6th reference at the end. I think this is about Horst being the Horstest.
Yeah, because Horst and Lewerke and someone else all play for the Michigan Panthers. Willekes.
Michigan Panthers. Wow.
Yeah.
That is
Detroit.
Bad.
Your own Detroit Panthers. Yeah.
God, I've never heard them referenced. I've never heard them advertised. I don't know where they play.
Play at Ford Field.
Oh, God.
Do they? You sure they don't play at a local high school?
They were playing in like
at
Alabama last year, but now.
High school. At Wayne State. Yucky. Next up, Dan Hellpupper. Stephen King used to shave off his beard every baseball opening day. Do you have any It's Summer Now traditions?
No, but that's a good idea. That would be a worthwhile endeavor. Like,
it would require shaving the beard, which I am not apt to do.
Not doing that. I'm thinking like maybe smoking a pork butt or something, which is kind of a 20 plus hour endeavor.
Once I see Oberon on the shelves, I do that. But now Oberon is effectively always on the shelves. It's like, you know, it's not as special as it once was.
No, it's definitely not. As yeah. discussed. I don't have a summer thing other than to wear shorts to the spring game. Next up from Dan Hellpepper. Will it hurt my enjoyment when MSU basketball is good this year and mostly the same roster if I know the Portal Truthers will also enjoy it?
I'm confused by this question.
Yeah, I'm trying to reread the question. I don't know what it means.
I think we have it a little bit backwards. If the Portal Truthers are right, it means that this is going to be a bad basketball season.
Right.
Right?
Well, can we chat about that for a second? Because I think, particularly online, there's some agita out there. Because Michigan is acquiring many a player from the transfer portal right now.
Well, they had literally none as of like two weeks ago.
Thank you. But it does, it creates, there's this sort of season within the season, if you will, or season within the off season of the portal. And there's this inclination that people get, this anxiety people get, that if I'm not moving, I'm losing. But let's not forget that MSU has two McDonald's All-Americans on its roster right now that it retained. Like, sometimes nothing happening is something happening.
But also, Jonesy, let's not forget that if we're not moving at the five, we are losing at the five.
Cosine.
So.
Like...
So, next up from Dan Hellpepper. So, based on what we heard last week, the Little Caesars on Livernois in Detroit has been proved to have the most podcast listeners of any pizza place in the state. What is second?
It's got to be Buddies on Conant Avenue.
Did people chime in that they also experienced that nonsense at that Little Caesars and I missed it?
I doubt it, but that would be lovely if they had.
Dude, everyone's going there as a result to get those little like muffin tins
that you have to wait in apparently an extensive line for because they're not there.
They're only available for a short time. LTO, limited time offer.
So respond to that survey to let them know.
Change.
Do respond to the survey. Download the app and respond to the surveys and that as well. Next up from Mathieu Shahan, Alan Heller is set to give
say
you
it right.
Matthias Shakan?
Mark Sheathan says.
Yeah, Mark Sheathan. My bad. Alan Heller is set to give you all $100,000 for accomplishing the following. You must get spring game attendance over 30,000 people. How do you get it done? This generated a lot of conversation. There were several responses to this. Ply with alcohol seemed to be the main theme.
I think if we had melting just moments,
that's not gonna get you to 30,000.
You don't know anything.
What do you, how much do you think it costs MSU in police for tailgating?
It's a good question. Not a huge amount for something like this.
Oh, for some this? Amount, not a football game. You meant this.
Well, I'm just curious what a football game brings in because, I mean, you kind of have to be prepared for a worst-case scenario, but I suspect that if you allowed tailgating, that gets you some of the way there.
For sure.
Like,
also, I think usually I have been to spring games with over 30,000 people. And the trick is
the stadium.
Have a winning football team. That's the trick. If you build it, they will come. It was kind of a miserable weekend weather-wise in the mid-Michigan. So that doesn't help in all of this. It was pointed out that we could have gotten Sean Kingston to play at halftime. I think going to be hard to do that, presumably in a $100,000 budget. But if we pooled our money and then we asked him nicely, maybe Sean Kingston would come in and give us a little dati do. You know,
he told me he can't. He's still trapped in Frandor. Can't find his way out.
Yeah, it's because it's a literal riot, a 420 riot over there, yeah. And the people. It's a Grateful Dead situation.
But, I mean, in seriousness though, like winning aside, like is there anything you would do? You get $100,000. I can't think of anything better than tailgating to make it more of an event. Like you've got the Izzo 5K or whatever, but I don't think that moves the needle for people. People do that because they want to do that. They don't. Yeah. It doesn't make them wander into the spring game.
The economic student in me wants to be like, $50,000 lottery, you know, like something like that. Right. Pay people to go. Give 50, them some 50
reason. Raffle.
50-50 raffle with a bit of heat attached to it. It can maybe be
matching,
done.
Matching NIL contribution.
Ooh, yeah. I think this one looks so bad for a number of reasons. One is we're in between programs right now. Two is it was a bad weather weekend. Three is we've had a string of bad spring games. Graham had this point in his column, and I agreed with it. If people knew how much actual spring game there was going to be in this spring game, yeah. I think they might have made time for it. But the last two spring games have been spectacularly dull events. Mm-hmm. So
we were saying this was going to be dull even a week ago. Because correct. We didn't like because
we didn't understand it.
And so and you had Sheehan saying you had everybody who might have some ability to make an impression on the fan base saying, I don't know.
Well, all of them are Dalberts. Dalberts. They got it wrong.
Next up, the Keatsky. If the NCAA wants to actually help, quote unquote, student athletes, they should require athletes to max out IRAs and I-401ks. I'm not familiar with this. NIL time. Who's got a better idea?
Contracts.
Well, this sounds very
paternalistic.
I've got to tell you, Kiski, it sounds very paternalistic. Sounds like Kiski thinks he knows better than student athletes.
There it is.
Interesting. Kiski comes in with his smug little emoji face profile picture. Thinks he knows better than people.
So smug.
I can imagine an eventual, like in all seriousness, an eventual moment where there's like, these colleges weren't helping these kids save this money at all. And like XY NIL guy got paid $100,000 for his 2 years. And then he washed out and he's got nothing left because Georgia Southern didn't teach him what to do with that money. And it's like, people want to have it both ways. I do hope we do know that some of these kids are getting a lot of money. I hope they have the right people around them to at least start. If at that age you get a hold of that much money, you can really like set yourself on a pretty yep. good trajectory if you do it right. Because drinks is cheap in East Lansing, man. You don't have to spend $250,000. At the, you know, at the at Harper's, you know, you can get in, you can take the express line and still save some cash. So I hope these guys aren't spending too much money over at the old, the Lexus of Lansing or whatever. They're not the BMW of Lansing. They're not going to Lexus of Lansing.
It'd be nice to get back to a time where kids were picking the school based upon the campus, the education, and the coaching staff.
Yeah, those days are dead. Next up from the Keyski, would you rather see a hugely improved football stadium or a basketball arena first at MSU?
Ooh. I've never even considered either of these. Have you guys?
No.
I've considered that maybe the Breslin Center could use a facelift from the exterior.
It's gotten it. I mean, maybe not to the extent that you'd like, but it's got the Gilbert Pavilion.
Right.
It's got a couple other things. I guess
there's an, you know, you can tell when it was designed and the threat of nuclear holocaust being maybe ever present.
The 80s. I'm with you, Jonesy. It's got a bit of a look to it. You know, it looks like a elementary schools that were built in the 90s. Like, you can definitely tell. I want the other side of Spartan Stadium to get built, second tower. I think that would be my preference.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But round, I think, it out, round of the project.
I think what he wants here is, do you want to replace either of them? And I haven't really thought about
that. I'm not
that.
Considered like, it.
Yeah.
Let's build up the NIL before we start sinking more money into the, I don't know, choose a coach and then name the Breslin after them. But can't be a basketball coach.
Would need to be track and field, presumably. Or
formerly the last swimming coach we had.
And then finally, Kiski points out an LSJ article citing Ross Ells in a Where Are They Now type article as unemployed, which he has taken tremendous joy from. And I think Sherbert came in over the top and also expressed tremendous joy. It does feel a little good, right?
It does.
Feels a little good.
It shouldn't, but it does.
Most of the time, people lose jobs and you feel bad for them.
Right.
There's something about Ross Ells that I'm like, no, you should stay unemployed.
It's like when, what's his name, under D'Antonio, the walrus, just after he got fired, he just changed his Twitter handle to Bowman. Former Bowman. Coach. Bowman, yes. And it was like,
walrus.
God. Why were those guys in that? And then Izzo looked at it and he was like, let's do that. Let's make that same mistake. Let's just roll that back.
Let's bring someone who got fired and is a known asshole back and just keep him here.
Next up from Ali, is wearing shorts in 40 degree weather the mark of a coaching genius? People are saying it is the mark, I believe.
This is the,
I presume this means that Jonathan Smith was wearing shorts.
Offensive line coach is Maholchik, I believe.
Yes, yeah. Coach M.
Maholchik was in shorts in 40 degree weather.
Wow, and
it looked good on him. He looked at peace. next up, Ali. What is your Damian Terry, D'Anthony Arnett spring game take of the year?
There's always a guy that gets like that blows up in the spring game and then you never hear from again.
Oh God.
I presume that this is that.
Is it Tullis?
Tullis is the one that I'm scared of. Can I sacrifice Kari Crump to this on the altar of this, getting the one interception?
Kari Crump owes you after the helmet swing.
Oh yeah, good point. Good point. I'm taking Kari Crump for this for sure.
If not, it's got to be Quindarius Dunnigan.
Slippery D.
Slippery D, as it were. Slippery QD.
Remember when there were two QD. Like Chance Ruckers or whatever? It was like Chance D and Chance L or whatever it was. One of those guys would blow up every spring game and then you would just not hear from
Never
them
hear
again
from them
until
again.
The next spring game.
Yeah.
Again. Kari Crump, this is your role.
Next up, Kurt Wisniewski. Who do you guys feel will enter the transfer portal after yesterday's spring game? Kurt, this was a... appreciate you. We've seen. I don't know that there's anyone that I want to put out into the world that might also enter the portal, though.
Yeah, right now, I just don't want there to be any more portal activity. Like, truly, I don't.
Unless it's an acquisition.
Unless it's about, basketball.
We didn't talk about the fact, by the way, that they're clearly hunting for a running back one right now in the world.
And clearly can't afford what's his name over at Oregon State. Otherwise, presumably, that would be done by now.
Going to Miami.
Yeah.
It looks like. Yep. But they're looking at a Georgia guy and a UMass guy. So.
A minute man. I know him well.
All right. Next up from Kurt Wisniewski, with Izzo stating AJ won't be back, what player from the basketball transfer portal would make your day? Anyone who plays center.
Yeah, whichever one is over 7 feet tall, please.
just a body mm-hmm. at this point.
Mm-hmm. Like, if one of them is shopping for them, we should also be shopping for them. They're a Big Ten program. We are also a Big Ten program. Like,
we need a Mahdi body, but not the original one. A new one, a replacement. Next up from the MSU Kentucky. Dude, why isn't the 90s movie Suburban Commando considered a cinematic masterpiece? It's not? It isn't?
I don't know this movie.
Yeah, I actually don't know it either. What is Suburban Commando? What is this?
Please,
I know
let
Commando
Pauly Shore
Commando.
Be in it.
I mean, it is the 90s.
It's the 90s.
Suburban Commando.
David Wayans.
Oh, it's the Hulk Hogan movie. Hulk yeah. Hogan and The Undertaker are in this flick from 1991.
Well,
remember when Hulk Hogan ruined Deadspin?
I do. And,
truly.
And
Peter well, Thiel? I guess Deadspin Thiel? Ruined Thiel. Itself and Hulk Hogan
yeah.
was an instrument of that.
That's right.
But like. Reality truly is stranger than fiction, very oftentimes.
Next up, Raymond Chains. Plum, why do you as a man exist? Raymond, I have a question. Have the either two previous answers from either Greg or myself been so satisfactory that you thought I need to stick with a third?
I exist for you, Raymond. I exist for you.
And second, Jonesy, if I were a coach, I would start backup QBs against FCS teams as a rule. It would incentivize recruits and build confidence and experience. Why shouldn't Coach Smith do the same against Prairie View Community College?
Well, I'm thinking Kenneth Walker missed a game or got pulled early from a game, and that may well have cost him a Heisman Trophy.
Well, getting injured at the end of that season cost him the Heisman Trophy.
Well, but earlier.
And also getting annihilated by Ohio State that year.
He had opportunities to pad his stats, is all I'm saying. And they were not given to him.
Well, he pad his stats against another community college from the state. I don't remember what they were, what it was called, but he had like five touchdowns that game. But he had those opportunities.
Raymond, I hear what you're saying. I think there's still value in every game trotting your ones out and making that go for a little bit.
Not if you're trying to do this whole the base package approach, which I just thought was probably strategic, but the branding.
It's because it's all recorded. Sure. Just don't want to give anything away.
So what's the difference between giving it away now in the spring and giving it away against Prairie View? You still got 6-8 weeks of lead time before you get to the big game, whatever happens each season. So,
well, for whatever it's worth, Prairie View, in particular, lost by like 60 points to a school that I've never heard of. So they are truly
big, sad,
bad. Mm-hmm. So you would hope that you can just run the base play, the single base play, over and over and over and over again, and still win, and I'm comfortable with that.
All right.
Sort of a Madden approach, just until they beat
them. Just
it.
Until they beat them. All right. Gretch, if I skipped MSU basketball to go to local pro wrestling, held at a malodorous...
Baseball.
All right. Very good.
Continue.
Oh, what did I say?
Basketball.
You said...
Well, same difference in some ways. Gretch, if I skipped MSU baseball to go to a local pro wrestling held at a malodorous VFW garage, peopled rednecks, waterheads, and freaks like myself, would I need to keep that to myself?
No. I've been to these types of events, Raymond Chains. We,
sure?
We don't talk about this much, but you have gotten close enough that Jonesy and I think we can now share that we were roommates in college with the one and only Lewis Linden.
Wow.
And going to see him at these types of events, and I've only done it a couple times, the spice of life. You don't have to You don't have to justify yourself to this podcast. We understand, Raymond. We understand.
Also getting outscored 42-3 by Purdue.
Might maybe make you switch.
But yeah. And, you know, I saw, did we talk about this last week? I saw a lot of excuses about, oh, it's so hard up here.
Yeah.
It's Purdue. It's also up here.
And it's Purdue. It's also hard.
Like, holy you think, shit. You think
baseball players are clamoring for West Lafayette? I can assure you they are not, son.
Do we think Jake Boss gets the...
I mean... I Alan Haller might be feeling the little itch. He might be feeling like a little like I want to.
I haven't fired anyone in a while.
I haven't handed out a gold watch in a minute. And I'd like to make another hire.
It's so. Chlamydia, Alan. It's chlamydia. Get on an antibiotic. All right. Next up, Momopoly. Vema. Shouldn't the oversight committee just move on to allowing the play calls to the field going through a small LED screen that could be wrapped on around a player's wrist in order to avoid the crowd noise issue that will affect the green light designated player hearing the call?
It feels like Momopoly has been watching Fallout or something.
Susan, that was a run-on question. There were no conjunctions.
With ill-placed commas, by the way. Like, wildly ill-placed commas.
I barely got a moment to breathe in asking that question. I don't know where the predicate clause even began. I'm upset. I'm not happy about this, and therefore we won't be answering it. Number two, how far do your sympathies go for the team/schools that cannot afford the recommended technology implemented in order to prevent the likes of controversial coaches and their ways?
So just to go back, I like the idea of coaches WhatsApping their players to their little device.
I like that.
And MSU, for whatever it's worth, has, I believe, three.
Yes, that's what he said.
Intercom system. So that's what Momopoly is talking about here, is the helmet communication devices that have been approved by the NCAA. They have three, which is clearly one for a defensive player, one for an offensive player, and then a backup available in case one breaks, which feels, frankly, like they don't have enough systems. You should have two backups, right?
Like, what if a backup quarterback goes in? Like, are we doing the signals now all of a sudden?
Yeah, no, that's what they're doing. That's the plan, is that if a backup goes in, they're going to have to revert to hand signals. You're still going to see the posters.
Well, they're specific to you. They're specific to your
noggin. I think it's for concussion reasons,
Concussions aren't real, I'm told. I watched Fox News. I guess
we brought in Plum. He was our healthcare expert, if you'll recall, listener, from the pandemic. So
and has gone full Aaron Rodgers on this.
Plum, we are going to release the HIV episode next week.
Correct.
Right,
about that's where right.
That was excellent.
Yeah, it's just an iteration of the avian bird flu. So worry not, everybody, because if you're not a bird, you can't get sick.
That's Fauci's fault. Same with wasting disease. Going back to Momopoly's question directly, get good programs. Get good.
They're not that much money. I mean, they can't be that much money. Even Prairie View Community College has got enough money for one helmet. They're fine.
They just have an iPhone taped up to the side of the helmet.
Fine.
It seems to work. It seems to work. Put an AirPod. Fine. Put one
AirPod.
Counterfeit.
Literally.
Go on AliExpress. Get a counterfeit AirPod, put it in there. Next up from Jassif _ Detroit, how many yards of offense for Nathan Carter this year?
3,000.
Dual threat, caught multiple passes and ran the ball. So Jones,
they are shopping for a replacement.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with. I don't want to be a downer.
4,000 yards is what he's going to say.
The offensive line, there's no reason to trust them, and they're implementing a new system. 595.
Oof. Oh, God. We're playing Prairie View in there. Next up,
you're right.
Kate
I'm sorry.
Wall.
I'm sorry. 695.
Okay. Next up from Kate Wall. I'm going to send this to Plum. Is Nick Marsh a more polished Keon Coleman as a freshman?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Keon Coleman was quite raw. Quite raw.
That's why we liked him.
That's why we liked him. That's why we liked him. But, you know, Keon Coleman, in many respects, was the he fully encapsulated what was wrong about the Mel Tucker era. Flashy. Had some talent, couldn't be bottled, couldn't be packaged, couldn't be placed, couldn't be situated, just errant. And, well, we're seeing that now, of course, as his fortunes of, I don't know what he's doing in Miami now. Who cares, I guess.
No, he's going to go first round in the NFL draft.
Oh, is he really? Or
top of the second. Yeah,
he's going to be great.
We got a lot of credibility as a podcast now, which is why we're moving on to Jer-Bear. Number one, did the coaching staff miss a big opportunity not having Sean Kingston come to the spring game? Great minds. People are saying
they couldn't
afford him.
Yeah.
You can't outbid the Frandor dispensary. It just can't be done.
I think the whole shopping complex chipped in for Sean Kingston. So once they got people in there, they couldn't figure out a way to get out.
It was just, and maybe that explains why it's always so busy and there's always people there, is that they get trapped in for days at a time and cannot get out.
It's like an ant trap. They just can't find their way out.
It is astonishing to me that Frandor is always so well trafficked. There's always people there at the Skechers store. And finally from Jer-Bear, Alan Haller calls you and tells you that you get to pick one upgrade to the aesthetics of Spartan Stadium. What are you proposing? Brick around the field, concourse facelift, etc.
Just talked about it. Higher tower, second side.
Yep.
Agreed. Gas pumps.
East side.
Bring them back.
Yeah, bring back the gas pumps and the old buses.
The program was better with gas pumps. Bring them back.
Next up, Upper Deck guy, Greg, what is your biggest pet? No, Plum. What is your biggest pet peeve on Twitter?
The bots, the AI, the Elon Musk. It's barely usable. And I know that that just makes me grouchy, but it is. It's barely usable.
Ruined a perfectly good product.
I mean, it had areas to grow, but Christ, you set this fucker back a decade.
I love that the bots were a big part of how he tried to get out of acquiring Twitter, and now they have just entirely taken over the platform.
Yeah, they released the poison pill, and then that's when he started complaining about the bots.
Yep.
If anyone suggests, though, that this podcast does not support women, we provide a platform for so many OnlyFans bots.
Link in bio.
So true, though. It's true. It is. It really is. It's not good. Michael Jones, can we make Chiles a September Heisman?
I refuse to be like that school. No.
Yeah, that's not our thing.
Just a stupid concept.
Plum, how long until you just use AI to replace Grooch?
We already have, and I'm surprised listeners haven't figured that out by now.
That just goes to show the power of how much like AI I was before ChatGPT.
Soylent was a dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway.
Next up, Greg, what are your thoughts from Carpenter Jarrett? What are your thoughts on the running back position? Do you think it's weird they're still trying to add another one with Carter as the starter?
I think it's not weird that they're trying to add another one when you consider that a true freshman was getting reps at the two. I mean, that is terrifying. That is not where you want to be. As well as he played, I would be trying to add another one as well. So I don't know that that's as much about Nick Carter as just like maybe Jalen getting Berger. Nick Carter some help. And mostly about Jalen Berger.
Let's focus in on Nick Carter for a second. Isn't that an NSYNC guy?
It's Backstreet Boy guy. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm the one who's an idiot. Anyway. Yeah,
you are. Thank you. I think we can all agree to that.
Next up from Zamas Tambiasi. Michael, which position groups will you spend all summer hyping up / fretting about?
I'm not going to hype up any position group.
Correct.
I will continue to fret about the offensive line and the secondary. it's enough seasons in a row. When people show you who they are, believe them, and until they show me something different, I'm going to continue to believe that they're ass.
Sure, that's right. Until we are proved otherwise against Prairie View Community College.
And I just want to say, I want to believe that things can get better, and I believe that things can get better, but until I see it,
they're not better.
I'm going to be concerned about it. Yeah.
Very
good. It's a real Schrodinger cat, and they were dead when they went into the box, so like...
Yeah, so you're not even... There's taxiderm. Not even a question.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep, good.
Next up from Thomas Plum, which 30-degree temperature swing would you rather deal with in a single day? 60 to 90 or 30 to 60?
It's got to be 30 to 60.
Wait.
What? Oh, interesting.
Yes. Think about it. 30 to 60 means you slept wonderfully because it was 30 degrees. Mm. Cold night sleep. You're bundled up. It's like wonderful.
Windows open. 60.
No, it's great. And then you wake up and it's like cool and crisp. You get your warm coffee and you're like, the day's going to get warm. And then it slowly perks right up. The birds are coming. And then it's a 60 degree, perfect spring day. Blue jeans, flannel shirt, walking the dog in the park. There couldn't be anything better.
Wow. We got a Yali reference in this whole thing.
Yali, she's still alive?
Needs those 30 to 60 degree
you
days.
You can't prove she's not. Mm-hmm. Next up, I Bleed MSU. Kevin, should we be concerned by the defense or enthusiastic about the offense? Clicks, clicks, clicks!
I think it's... concerned about the defense more than enthusiastic about the offense. Right. Yeah. When I was watching this team, I was like, this is a mid team.
Yeah.
I've seen some mid teams. I've seen some good teams. I've seen some bad teams. And this one here, this one, a mid team. So don't be enthusiastic about anything. This team's not going to the Big Ten championship game. Yeah. Next up from Jason Fry, since Grooch was at the Sean Kingston 420 Festival, of course, can we check in with Grooch's wife's boyfriend to see if he attended the spring game in person? Jason Fry is truly the keeper of the canon of the podcast. All keeper of our of little cannon. Bits it's and good. Running jokes.
It's good.
He's taking the notes. He's our librarian.
But yes, the boyfriend was there and he got rained on and it was very sad. He's got the flu now. So
he saw three quarters and then just left.
So we're lighting a candle for him tonight and hope he gets better soon. Because
came over to join me at the B420 festival. And we had a grand old time.
Yep. As you always do.
Next up from Dat Dude Below Jonesy, is it too early to upgrade Childs to him status after one spring game?
Yes.
I'm sorry, you can't throw 50% against a base defense. I don't care what you're running. No, he has a ton of upside, and with everything with this team, you can hope for a really good summer and then a great fall camp. And there are reasons, the competency about the coaching staff to believe that things can get better. But no, and don't anoint him as him. Because you're doing your own self a disservice to how you view this year. Like, I will enjoy this year if we're competitive and we make meaningful strides and we win games we're expected to win. That's where I am. I don't know about you guys, but like, just do competency.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Set a baseline with this year.
Yeah.
Plum, do you want to take this next question?
This is great. I love Beth. I've fucking read this love already. Beth Amaro, quickly becoming one of my favorites. Maybe my favorite. I'm not a poet, she says. So I asked ChatGPT to compose a limerick for you guys. Here it is. Hope you like it. Now, I don't know if this was a copy. Was this a copy and paste error, or am I going to have to call this out? Because this is a very ChatGPT
copy and paste error.
Okay.
Go ahead and take... copy and paste here.
All right.
Give Beth and ChatGPT the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, I don't want to, but I'm not, at least not ChatGPT. Okay, here we go. Three guys with a Spartan ambition, podcasters with fervent rendition. Can't read, can't write, they boast. MSU sports, they'll diagnose. with passion. They fuel their transmission.
Beth, I have a quick question.
Jason Fry, make a note about how with passion we fuel our transmission.
Beth, I just want to know what your prompt was. Because last we checked ChatGPT, and indeed I checked not that long ago.
It didn't know who we are.
So
no. It knew who Greg and I were.
Oh, it didn't know who I was.
You were that true tells you that listener actually, guest status.
Yes, that tells us that it's actually really smart.
It does. Knows who the hosts are. Yes, it knows who the hosts are. That's good.
Wow. But so, Beth, I want to know if you had to prompt engineer this.
Yeah. Or did you edit it, Beth, for my very, very fragile ego? You knew you had to type in three guys here into the thing. I like how it also ambition rendition and then also give itself passion transmission. So, wow. It's a whole new rhyme scheme.
They fuel their
transmission.
That really just shoehorned something in that felt like if you didn't pay attention, it was passable.
That's the ChatGPT way.
All right, next up, stupid Shardy. Plum, again, I ask, what does or die trying mean to you? This is, of course, a reference to the Tom Izzo quote. I'm going to make it deeper in the tournament, or die trying.
Yes. Yeah, I... What is this an earnest question? Is it not self-evident? What does he want from us? I mean, I guess in this respect, if he's alluding to the Tom Izzo thing, then Tom Izzo should have self-immolated already. And the
is he been in New York recently? Like, what was bringing that?
There it is. Yeah.
It means to me, stupid Shardy, that like maybe there is something to the Izzo washed narrative. This next one's a little spicy from stupid Shardy. What's the worst treatment ESPN has given MSU? Your choices are OTL trying to lump D'Antonio and Izzo into the Nassar scandal, or when they had a waffle guy split screened on the 2019 MSU U of M basketball game for 15 minutes.
I don't like the waffle
Remember
guy.
Remember the waffle guy?
Yeah, was it
media?
That bad? Was it that bad? I liked waffle guy. It was.
Yeah, he was on Twitter for a long time. I don't know that he still is, but I mean, we've seen Fox do terrible broadcasts.
Yeah,
we can remember when Gus Johnson was ejaculating all over Sharon Moore courtside recently.
I think what you would say, Jonesy, is was giving passionate transmission courtside. Thank you very much.
That is a callback, sir. I'm gonna. This is outside the lines. Easy, like it's not complicated here.
We didn't have a podcast during Outside the Lines during that story. It would have been very interesting if we had. I think the program deserves some. Definitely deserves some critique at that time. There's no doubt about that. But it was an unfair lumping together and connecting dots that there was no connection.
Let me ask you this. What's worse?
Yeah.
That moment or the series of stories that Tony Paul published where he tried to rehabilitate the image of a sexual assaulter?
Oh, I still do not and can never understand why the Detroit News decided to just publish whatever Curtis Blackwell's lawyers asked them to publish without any comment or second thought. And then also to seem to decide, hey, you know what's even worse than the actual sexual assault? Being the university at which the sexual assault happened.
Yep.
Because we're going to just just fillet MSU and Mark D'Antonio, but we'll go ahead and we'll write these little puff pieces about what's his name down at Texas Johnny Christian Corley. Or whatever it was. It yep. makes absolutely no sense to me. And maybe someday we'll ask Tony Paul to come on and we'll maybe I'll accept it. I can imagine a scenario where we're just like, hey, remember this? We've been really critical about you or of you for this. Do you want to talk about it live on the episode? The problem is, I don't think anyone remembers it or wants to talk about it. It was like 5 years ago, but
it still bothers me.
It does. Yeah.
Going to parlay this into a hot take real quick here. Just keep Joe. Who were we just talking about? Jason.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that Chris Beard crawls out from whatever fucking hellhole he's in the next year and becomes a name, sort of a speaker on the college basketball front, and no one says shit about it. I think Chris Beard reemerges next year. So,
or he might just decide Ole Miss is the spot. And then finally from
Tilrig.
Has anyone told Plum he misses true calling as a voice actor for cartoons? No joke, that dude could get work.
Well, listen here.
He is the reincarnation of Bruno Kirby. So true. You know that.
Famous for his voiceover work on Futurama and
silent films.
Talkies.
Dude could crush some ADR though.
Stupid.
Follow-up question, Greg. Which animated TV show would you like to see Plum on most?
What's the Nick Kroll one on Netflix?
Oh, the Big Mouth.
Big Mouth?
Or Human Resources.
I think Plum's got Big Mouth potential.
I could do Big Mouth. I
could see him making a spot on Bob's Burgers for sure.
Mm.
I could see him filling in for Lynn Diane Belcher.
Lynn Diane. Diane.
Oh, yeah.
It's Linda Belcher, right?
It is Linda Belcher.
The wife?
Linda. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but so you could be her sort of evil stepsister, Lynn Diane.
Lynn Diane. That's right.
That we just haven't mentioned in the like hundreds of thousands of hours of content.
We never told
you. Tina Belcher running movie? Is my favorite thing ever.
Oh, the arms behind her back or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
No, I've not watched the Bob's Burgers.
I've got to do it at some point. I don't know why I haven't. I haven't either. Bob's Burgers.
I haven't either. Yeah. One day.
Well, this was a delight to end on. Gentlemen, we got to watch something that looks like football. Mm. And that was nice.
Great.
I think we came down a little hard, but I'm amped up for the season. Hopefully next week we've got more portal talk and some good things to chat about. So go green.
Go white.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.